Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. Hey, you guys, I'm your host, Chris Richardson, and this is a special segment that we do called For Men Only, Man Talk. Welcome again to another episode of Man Talk. We've been on break for a little bit, but we're back now. So I want to welcome everyone who's listening in tonight, or everyone who's tuning in from a podcast that will be listening to this at some other point in time. Certainly want to thank you for your time that you found it fit in our robbery to listen to the show. I am excited tonight. My name is Chris Richardson. I am your host, and I am joined by my brother, Edward Scissorham. His name is Edward Smith from Meet the Smith, and I'll bring him in just a second. But for those men who are out there and you're listening to this, or the ladies who are listening to this, this is a topic that you really need to get into every man's hands. Every man has a battle. So the purpose of tonight's show is all about helping men, and we focus on with Real Talk. On the Man Talk segment, we focus on showcasing issues that challenge the men that are particular concerns to men that they face every day. So it's really about it's not just about saving relationships. It's really about empowering individuals and helping families. And we believe that we can live better, love deeper, and laugh more, especially when we get to the root of helping men be all that they can be. So tonight's segment and topic is on the topic of 9 ways to conquer impure thoughts. Yeah, that's right. 9 ways to conquer impure thoughts. And this is a particular topic that it's challenging. I mean, be honest with you, there's not a man that's out there today that could say, hey, you know, I've got this mastered completely. Absolutely not. Because the thought will come up when you least expect it, and it could be impure about anything. It doesn't have to be a sexual thought or a thought about woman. It can be impure in terms of money. It can be an impure thought in any different direction, you know, that you have. So it's not only the thought, it's what you do with the thought that matters. But again, as I said, I'm not doing this solo tonight. I'm running with my brother, good friend, Brother Edward Scissorham Smith. Edward, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Listen, man, it's a pleasure to be on the show once more tonight, brother. We have not done a man talk in a while, so I'm excited that we're back, and we're just going to speak from the heart, brother.
Yeah, no question, man. We want to let the folks know, listen, tell a friend, tell a neighbor, if you are a woman and you know a man, you need to invite him to this show. Because, again, this is a Man Talk segment that's really for men, and we believe that when men are better, we really have better families, and we really, foundationally, we're in a better place. Because when a man gets his vertical walk in order, oh, my gosh, his horizontal relationships are not destroyed. The children and the families are not as well. Because the man walks in, he is capable of walking fully in his purpose because he's connected to the source that gives him life, gives him meaning, and he can walk into the reason for the season. And that is none other than being connected to Christ. And so this segment in the show, we, you know, it's open. We want men to call in, dial, share, brothers, if you're out there, 619-924-0869. We just want to have a discussion. If not, Brother Ed and I, we can represent. That's not a question at all. You also can tune in through our Facebook group. We've got a group chat that we do simultaneously. So, ladies, if you're out there and you've got a question that you want to pose to this issue, hey, that's where you can post a question. But as far as calling in tonight, we just reserve the lines exclusively for the men just so that we can have a little family time, okay? So this Facebook group page, I'll give this to you. It's The Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. That's The Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. Okay, so having said that, Ed, let's go ahead and get hot and heavy into the subject matter on it. So let's do it, man. We've got some topics here about it, conquering impure thoughts and all that. Now, Ed, I said earlier when I initially came to the discussion about impure thoughts, it's that, you know, we all have impure thoughts. But here's the key to that. The impure thoughts don't have to have us.
Come on, brother.
So, and that's the real truth. I mean, we're gonna have different thoughts that come up, and it's a matter of, well, what do you say to yourself? You know, how do you overcome it so that it doesn't become something that plagues you? You know, and I'm gonna be honest with you, ladies, real talk. It is a constant battle. You know, there's a book that was written, Every Man's Battle. You know, in terms of sexual impure thoughts, and I looked at this before when we did a show, Ed. What were the statistics on how often do men think about sex and how often versus do women think about sex? You know, and there was a study that was put out. I can't quote the source, so I usually try not to. But there was a study that was put out on that, and it wasn't as high as we thought it was. You know, it wasn't like a man dreamed of sex every – it was a college that put this study out. It wasn't Kansas. It wasn't University of Kansas. No. But I looked at this probably about a month ago, man, and I was just like, wow, you know, yeah, we have thoughts about sex, but, you know, it's not all day he's just thinking about sex. Not for every man. Now, that every man is different. That's like saying every woman is always thinking about it too. So maybe for her it is, but, you know, every woman is different. So, Ed, when we think about these impure thoughts, what comes to mind for you, man?
Well, you know, honestly, let me start off by saying, man, it takes absolutely nothing to sin, brother. It takes absolutely nothing to do the things that are impure because, you know, unfortunately, it's a part of our DNA, right? But it takes absolutely everything, and when I said everything with both feet on the gas to go so that we may go against, you know, what becomes natural for us. So, you know, you were asking the question, you know, listen, you know, we think about impure thoughts, you know, as, you know, every day, brother, but the difference in being subjected to these impure thoughts is a covenant. It's a covenant that you have to make. You have to say, you know, to yourself, I can't do this. You know, like Josephus and did said when he encountered Pharaoh's wife, and let us not be fooled. You know, I am sure when you think about Pharaoh and who Pharaoh is, I am sure his wife was one of the finest thing ever. Man eyes ever behold during that time, you know, and so as fine as she may have been, even though the Bible did not speak about her beauty, but as fine as she may have been, you know, Joseph was able to say, I can't do this and sin against my God, you know, so that speaks volume to the covenant that he have made between he and his God. And so in order for us to overcome any impure thoughts, you know, we have to get to a place where we make a covenant. You know, the Bible speaks, Chris, about, you know, there are no temptation taking us by which we can't overcome. And the only way we can say no to these things is to deny self. You know, because self is what overtakes us, that causes us to subject ourselves to the impure thoughts, and so And impure thoughts, as you know, brother, comes in many form or fashion, colors, you know, and so we have to be vigilant. Like as you said, you know, we have to stay connected, you know, with God in order for, you know, so that I can say no to any impure thoughts that comes my way.
Mm-hmm. And we got one of our other brothers here, our little brother, Ed, you know, from Jamaica, man. So, Brother Dave, you there, man?
You know, back when we were in Jamaica.
Oh, my little brother is on the line tonight, hey. Man, brother. I love you, bro.
Guys, I'm actually in the car riding around. I didn't think I was gonna be able to get on, and I'm actually picking up my kids from school. But I had I had to put my 2 cents in, man.
Mm-hmm. Hey, man, your 2 cents are always welcome. I think it's a little bit more than that, so you know. But absolutely, your 2 cents are always welcome, brother.
Yes, sir.
Man, let me just say that I think, you know, one of the things that's key, man, is really owning the fact that it's hard to overcome a giant that you won't admit exists. That's the bottom line. So I think we gotta say, you know, there is a Goliath, and I'm going to conquer it, but I've got to own it. And I think, man, overcoming some of these thoughts, what is key to admit that you feel this way. And it's important to give yourself permission to say, hey, man, I like this. I like thinking this. I like doing this. It makes me feel a certain way. So, God, you're going to have to help me with it because I like it too much.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Admitting it is key. But pretending it doesn't exist.
Yeah. And that's true, Dave. I think that one of the things that we try to do is we're often saying the state of denial. We're like, nah, man, I'm good. You know, it's not an issue. You know, it's really not an issue. And then before you know it, you've done it so much, it becomes the norm. And
yes,
you fooled yourself to thinking like, oh, okay, you know, hey, man, you know, nah, I was just, you know, looking at this. I always, you know, I don't have a heaven or hell to put anybody in, man. And I remember back in the day where it was a time where, you know, it was nothing to just be like, you know, you see something that you like or you're attracted to, you kind of get that you do a double take, you know. So like, and then you look at the next brother, if you know, near somebody, and be like, man, what, did you see that? You know what I'm saying? And so that becomes how we banter with amongst ourselves for almost significance and validation, you know, to where brothers be like, man, you mandingo. Because in today's culture, you know, a lot of things are accepted. Okay, so let me back up a little bit. Probably about, 5 to 10 years ago, it wasn't so commonplace for a man who was, it was really known as the down under. And so now, you know, most brothers would be like, you know, hey, cool, I'm accepting my sexuality and what it is. So at that point in time, even if he was, you know, maybe he went a little different way, that brother might have been trying to prove himself anyway, just to say, yo, you know, nah, I'm a dude, I'm straight heterosexual. He wanted to appeal that way that he was. And so, but anyway, whether you're heterosexual, bisexual, whatever, that's your preference, you know. But at the end of the day, what we're saying here is that we all connect on that same level. We like what we like, you know. And as Dave said, it's kind of hard to conquer Goliath when you won't even acknowledge that he exists. You know, and that's to the fault of most of our men, man. So I kind of did my little homework here, and I can't say that, you know, the lesson plan that I prepared to put tonight is something that I written and prepared. No. Why reinvent the wheel if the wheel is already in place and it's functioning, it's working? And so I'm going to turn the brothers on that are listening tonight. I'm going to give you a significant piece of information. The best tool that you can have is the one that you use. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The best tool that you can have is the one that you can use. So if you can't use anything else, all right, let me put that in perspective, Dave. If you don't know anything but Proverbs 23, okay, that's all that you know, then you stay in your lane until you have graduated to the next lane. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So work the tool that you have, but just understand how the functionality of that tool works. That it will cover you, and in that instance, you can work that scripture for a lot of different things. So if that's the one that you have, you work that. I used to tell people only scriptures I knew was Jesus' weapon, John 3:16, and I'm joking with that, you know. But I say that to say that for, you know, the brothers that are out there, that this tool right here is called Training Faithful Men. I picked this up a few years back, and I started this devotional time on it, And it was a great resource manual. In fact, our church, First Baptist, we use this tool in our part of our discipleship ministry. And it's powerful. You know, it's got some powerful information in it. But so when I started looking at this whole thing on, wow, man, Dave, Ed, you know, what kind of topic can I talk about tonight? And I started looking at this, and I was like, well, let's look at what's relevant in your life. You know, let's be honest. You know, I don't have, you know, this is not about the confession night or anything like that, but I'm not a perfect man. You know, but one of the things I told my girlfriend is that I'll never disrespect you. You feel me?
Yeah.
And so that's the one thing I hold true to, that, you know, if I see something, I can always acknowledge beauty. It's what do I do with it after I see it?
Yeah.
All right, somebody's gone. So, hey, in other words, you know, you've been married, you know, you and Dad have been together for a while. It's not unusual for you to see somebody on TV or something else that you can acknowledge, okay? Because they acknowledge it. But like Sister Wren, we were talking about the subject, and one of the things that she had said is that when you start to stare it down, if you look at it for 10 seconds or more, you done already lusted after it.
You know? I think one of our problem, brother, is that, you know, we keep forgetting that, you know, there's a warfare going on, and the Bible refers to it as a spiritual warfare, right? And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? But us in our flesh and blood behavior or frame, you know, we flirt a lot with sin. We flirt a lot with the idea of, you know, oh, you know, okay, you know, she likes me, you know, and just let's talk about it, but, you know, our flirtatious behavior that we have with someone of the opposite sex or, you know, whatever the case may be. Oh, she likes me and, you know, I know that I'm married and stuff, but I'm flattered over the fact that she likes me. And so, I flirt with the ideas of sin and stuff because, you know, I'm not doing anything. I'm just talking. We're just talking and we're just smiling and we're just having fun, you know. And so we continue to flirt with that sin, not knowing that we don't have the experience that the author of sin has, you know. And so we keep flirting with that sin, and before you know it, we are tangled up in it, and, you know, how did we get here, you know? And so, but God is saying to us that we ought to do the total opposite, which is to shun the very evil appearance, shun the very appearance of evil, you know. And so we can't afford to flirt with it, you know. You know, we never have to face our temptation, you know. We any temptation that we're having, you know, we can overcome, and we can only overcome as long as we die in Christ, you know. God is always eager to give us all the grace that we need, you know, to reject our temptation, you know. God promised to give us wisdom, but, you know, even though he promised to give us wisdom, we have to ask for it in faith. Yeah, and so we need to stop flirting with these temptations, you know, that is so easily besets us. You know, stop flirting with them and do what God is asking us to do. God, listen, my flesh is weak, you know. I can't do this. Father, you're going to have to help me. And so we got to just lay at his feet, man, and let God do his thing.
One of the things that's key, and I'm gonna post this in the group. So if you're the guys, I just made a comment. If you're gonna want to tune into the group, but one of the things that it says in the book, the first way to conquer your thoughts is, look, you got to begin the war and expect to win. You know, and that's true, man. When you look at this thing, when you begin the war, you got to expect that you're gonna win this. You can't go into this with a defeated mindset and attitude on it. You just got to say, look, I'm not going to lose this thing. I know the thoughts are going to come up, but I'm going to win. And the way we win is we win when we stay focused in Christ, and we win when we stay focused on, like, we try to feed ourselves with Scripture and not feed the flesh. I used to say this, Dave. I said, if you give the flesh can never get enough, and the spirit can never have enough. Think about that. That's true. You know, your flesh is always going to want more. If you feed it today, it's going to grow bigger tomorrow. I remember listening to Dr. Dewey Smith one time. He preached a sermon for a revival service, and he said, you know, why was the in Revelations, he was referred to as a dragon, right? But in Genesis, it was only a serpent.
Mm.
So he's referring to the devil. So he said, wait a minute, between Genesis and Revelations, what happened? Somewhere along the lines, that thing got fed. So we're feeding it. And you know, we feed more by we tell ourselves the lie and then we live it, meaning, you know what, nah, I'm good. You know, hey, this I got this under control. It's not an issue, you know, and then there's no accountability in the process. And then before you know it, you know, she on your couch, you know, or she's right there in your bed, you know, because the mind. So what happens is this. We know this, fellas, that imagination thing can be real serious. And once it starts to go in that direction, it's kind of hard to pull it back. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the one thing. So the first thing is, you know, we got to expect that we're going to win the war. So in order to win the war, we got to know that we're in a battle to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that means, as Ed said already, I believe it was Ed that had said it, we're in a spiritual warfare. And well, here's the thing. We can win, and we will win. And you won just by waking up this morning, number one. So you got to give a little bit of what credit is due. If God had said it's over for you, you would have been done last night. But he woke you up this morning with a purpose and a plan. Now he's just saying to you, I'm not finished with you yet. Yes, I know that you failed. I know that you had a little shortcoming. But yet, a just man falls seven times. So you can get back up because you win at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Point number two, let's move it. Let's keep it moving. One of the things that Dave said, and I like, you know, to beat that monster or to acknowledge that Goliath is there, you got to first accept and acknowledge that it's there. And then what you have to also do is you got to replace those secret pictures in your gallery. You got to change the ones in your mind, too. So I have a boy, you know, my man, 50 grand, as we used to say. But you know, he still has some things that, you know, he's still trying to process from a long time ago. You can't be all that you're supposed to be today living 10 years ago. If you're living with the pictures, meaning, let's be plain. Fellas, if you're still pulling pictures up that you had from the chick that you was with 10 years ago, something wrong. You know what I'm saying? Something's wrong. Hey, I got some feedback in one of your lines, guys. I don't know if it's Dave or it's you, Ed. I got some clicking noise that's coming through.
Might be.
That's cool. So, you know, you got to replace the secret pictures in the gallery of your mind. And the only way you can do that is you got to change the channel. You have to decide, I'm going to change the channel. And you got to really now start to search what's in your heart. What's in your heart?
Hey, Chris.
And what? Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Man, let me tell you something. Yesterday I was out of town doing some ministry, and on my commute back, I had a real heart to heart with the Lord about some of the things that I've been thinking lately. Some of the just my thoughts, man. Just some of the ways my thoughts have been going, and he showed me, man. He said, you know, Dave, you listen to a lot of R&B, and that stuff is starting to affect the way you think, right? Nothing deep, nothing profound, just what you're listening to. And I keep hearing you say feeding. Matt, when we feed our lust, bro, it grows. And it has the ability and capacity to overtake us. So he told me, man, nothing but worship music. You got to give me 30 days of straight worship. Nothing if it ain't. And then he told me, none of that hip-hop, churchy, hip-hop gospel. I need you in the presence. So sometimes, guys, we have to detox. You know, there's just a lot going on. If we keep feeding ourselves, it's almost like feeding yourself the poison that's killing you, right? We're willingly feeding ourselves the poison that kills us. That's a dangerous thing because you can't escape it because it becomes a part of your appetite. So,
right.
and you have a taste for it. So we got to watch what we feed ourselves. I love that, Chris.
All the time. You know, that's one of the things like our pastor talks about here at First Baptist is, you know, you the TV shows that you watch, the music that you listen to, Dave, I'm glad you brought that up, man. The music that you listen to, all of that, you kind of got to sanction that, even social media, man. I kind of pull back off social media. Yeah, I got to, you know, my job doesn't allow me to do a lot of posting. But here's the thing. You're constantly, okay, guys, let me just be real. There's always something that you're going to see, and we are, you know, just like, okay, let me put this in perspective because the ladies, listen, I'm coming down your street too. Ladies always love a diamond. Always love a diamond.
Mm-hmm.
And guys all, but here's the thing. Guys always love a dime. A dime piece. So to the lady, she likes a diamond ring because no matter the one that she has, she always will see something that may capture her eye. It has a little gleam or a little sparkle. And to a man, it's the same thing. So when you're on social media, I find myself being careful. Usually, when I used to get friend requests by women, you know, now it's a little different. You know, it's clear that I'm with somebody. But before, you know, some of the requests, man, I had to guard myself because some people will come at you, and they're not necessarily one of the things that we were talking about. And I've always said this before: people that are always attracted to your anointing, they can't necessarily handle the rod for your blessing. You know, so that's real. So. Man, look, that's real talk right there, man. That's real talk. So you with me, and then I always used to say, just because we're getting off on the same floor don't mean we're on the same level.
Mm.
You know? So just because she going to church don't mean she ain't, you know, doing some of the things that are going to pull you down. And or just because she knows a couple amens or vice versa, but this is a man talk show, so I'm talking to the men. You know, just because she knows a couple amens don't mean she Holy Ghost filled and sanctified and she already at that place where she's fully understand and been restored, you know, because she might have a little bit of old in her, and you got to know where you are. I love it that what's the brother Devin Franklin, you know what I mean? For kudos to that brother, man, for his longevity with purity, you know, that is a significant struggle to hold it off that long, especially when you're not gay, especially when you're a decent looking brother. You know, all the time. People would say this is real talk right here, Dave. You know, one of the reasons that, I'm going to just be real clear, the reason why I don't post a lot of video pictures is because, you know, not because I never want people to judge me based on just looking at me. I want people to judge the content and the message that I deliver. That's why I write more than I put pictures out there, because I really don't want you looking at me and getting distracted. So I'm conscious as well. With that, now that's just something I got a little hang up with. But me personally, look, to the ladies out there I'm spoken for, I'm good. But I really just want the message to be the focus, not the picture, the visual.
That's
you know what I'm saying?
Wait a minute, Chris. Let me just say something to you. So tonight we were on Facebook, right? And, you know, our Belinda spoke about you accepting to speak at the event coming up, right?
Mm-hmm.
This lady comment on your picture. Very handsome young man. My wife goes, "What? He's freaking!" And you know, and it just confirmed to that of which you're speaking of right now is that you know we are, you know, we as Christian. You know, and my little brother David also allude to it. You know, we as Christians, we have to be careful as to the things that we're putting out there that causes people. I'm not saying that this young lady, you know, had any lustful desire or whatever, but you know, we have to be careful as to the things that we put out there that may cause someone to sin. You know, that may cause someone to have an impure thought. You know, and so, you know, as you know, and we can only do that by always being vigilant. It's just like a parent never had a break from being a parent. You are a parent, you know, until even when that child become mature and marry and have his or her own place, you're still a parent. You know, now you're a parent in the advisory realm of things. But, you know, man, you can't have a downtime. You can't think that you have acquired, attained, or aspired anything, because, you know, the moment you think you stand, the Bible says you will fall. You know, and so you have to stay connected on a consistent basis in order for
mm-hmm.
you to overcome the things that are out here.
Yeah, that's true, man. It's the key. So to the fellas, you know, again, trying to replace those thoughts, man. You gotta do everything possible. You gotta be conscious of what the thoughts are, and it's that unconscious behavior, as we always know it, that controls behavior. And so when we consciously do, like Dave said, he checked himself. See, that's the point of, we go back to the Maslow's hierarchy of needs right there, and that's self-awareness. That's the Holy Spirit. That's a man, that's a brother that's really in tune to his spirit, man. And God said, nah, because the Holy Spirit is the teacher, as we know. And the Holy Spirit said, nah, Dave, I'm going to need you to pull back, player. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to need you to really kind of pull this thing back, because right now the thoughts that you're having are coming because of the seed that's being planted by the music that you're listening to, and it's feeding your soul. You know, my girlfriend asked me earlier, what's the difference between your soul and your spirit? Well, let me just break that down. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your spirit is not alive until you've accepted Christ. Then your spirit comes alive when the Holy Spirit comes to connect with you as that peace. But up until that time, you haven't accepted Christ, ignore it. So, yeah, you do have a spirit, but it doesn't come alive. So then the Holy Spirit comes to teach you by hearing the word, listening to the word, and God speaks to us all in different ways, you know, in different measures. So we can't necessarily put God in a box and say, hey, God, I want to take you off today when it's convenient for me.
Right.
You know, and that's a struggle. So, you know, I find myself having to, really, with the thoughts, I got to try to find a word. And I noticed that I could be at work, you know, I work with a lot of people. I could be at work, and then all of a sudden I have to try to pull myself back and, you know, just to, you know, catch myself. Because sometimes the environment may be conducive. Some environments that you're in are conducive to the sin that you breathe and the sin that you feed.
Hey, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, can you hear me, man?
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hey. One of the things, guys, one of the things, too, man, we have to consider that it's not always a lust issue. Like, sometimes what I'm finding dealing with some of the brethren is this. A lot of these guys have not been validated in life.
Right.
Right? And so they suffer, they just lack the attention. They lack the validation. And so in many cases, it's not necessarily a lustful thing, as in lusting after a woman sexually. As guys, we lust at times for attention. We need to be validated. We're seeking to be noticed. And so when she's showing you the attention, there's something in you that's being fed, right? Because there's a void, there's a breach in your spirit. The other thing, too, and let's just be honest, guys, many of us are married, and there are some men who just aren't getting what they need from their wife. That's just the reality. You're just not getting what you need. Your needs are not being met. There's some men who are listening to this right now. If you want to be honest, your needs are not being met. Guys, we have to be careful with that, because there is always somebody who's willing to meet your need. And in many cases, you can find that outside of your home. So we got to be very careful when we have feel that desire to have a need met, whether it's emotional, spiritual, or physical. And we've got to surround ourselves with good brothers who we can be accountable to say, nah, you don't want to do anything other than you got to stick it out, you got to pray it out, but you can't go outside of the home. That's not the answer.
Yeah, that's good. Point number three. One of the things that we talked about is in my class that I take, it's called Church Doctrine. We talk about the lust of the flesh. And this one is the eyes. So what point number three, how to conquer the impure thought, is the third one is you've got to make a covenant with your eyes. You got to make a covenant with your eyes. And it says that, you know, one of the most righteous men who ever lived was Job. And it says that a key to his righteousness was found in Job 31, which scripture says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think lustfully upon my mind? So the key to controlling our minds is to controlling our eyes, you know, in that. And the light of the body is the eye, which is true. So what comes into your mind is typically what your eyes see and focus on, you know. And so now that could be, let's say, let me think about this for a second. Let's say that the man cannot physically see, but he at one point he could physically see. So then at that point, what he has to do, and this is how we have to think about this, we got to then train now the imagery that has filtered through our lens. So, if we sit down, Dave, and we're doing a presentation, we use what's called a projector or something that's projected on the screen. And so back in the day, they used to have this one I'm taking y'all back right here, Dave. Ed, you probably would remember because you're a little older than both of us put together, but you would remember this one.
Whatever, brother. Whatever, man.
remember that one that they would have a little laminate. He would turn the light. They would turn the light on, and it was like project it onto the screen, right?
Yes, sir.
So what am I saying? I'm saying that there's times that we are projecting things onto our screen that don't need to be there to begin with. You know what I'm saying? So if we filter what goes on the screen, so if we were in an environment that not conducive to that, the teacher wouldn't put it up. You know what I mean? And so that's the same thing. We got to filter what comes onto our screen so that it doesn't get projected to our imagery and it doesn't get continuously repeated over and over again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's called an overhead projector. That's what it is.
The overhead.
What year did that come out? 1922?
I don't know. You would know that more than I would, brother. I don't know.
Hey, Dave, you see he's fighting over there, right?
I think Dave got cut off, brother.
Oh, yeah, he did. That's okay. All good. Yeah, he got dropped. He's off with his boys, man. But all much love for him, man. We've been riding with this thing together, man. We're going to roll it out. Again, point number three, man, and I'll post that in the group page again. So if you're out there, you can chime in. We'd love to hear from the guys that are out there who are listening right now. 619-924-0869. You know, call in, press 1. We just got one housekeeping rule. It's real simple. We can agree to disagree. We can always challenge the message, but we never attack the messenger. So we try to create a safe zone here on the show, and I think that's really important as well because, at the end of the day, we can all get along. That's how we do it here, with that said. So point number three was, again, we got to make a covenant with our eyes. And with what we see, we've got to really protect that, just like Job did in that. And so point number four is, to overcome it, we got to give the Holy Spirit its most effective weapon. That's interesting. So it says that our battle against impure thoughts is far more than a mental or physical struggle. It's spiritual warfare. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers of thee. Which is key. So God knows that our natural inclinations easily betray us. They betray us to this delusive, glamorous, and temporal pleasures that Satan offers. So with that said, we know he's coming back. We know that it's warfare because every time you see something that you like, I mean, no matter who you are, you're going to have a test. You're going to have a challenge. It's usually going to cycle back. You know what I'm saying? So, whatever you did, and God forgave you for it, the key is not to live in it because that's called lasciviousness. And so when you then you live in it, you defile yourself in a way. That in itself, for single brothers, what we try to do is not to defile ourselves by not taking into that. Was that 1 Corinthians 12 that, refers to that, 12, 1 and 2, that speaks to that. Our bodies are to be a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable, unto the Lord. So, that's really important as well. So that I think that's a piece that it is a challenge. I'm going to tell you right now, it is a challenge. But guess what? As I said in point number one, we're built for this challenge because we already won. We already won. We win when we're in Christ. And that's the attitude of gratitude that we have to have. And His grace is sufficient. We already know that. So, maybe you're out there listening right now, just I would have just encouraged you, you know, don't beat yourself down. You know, don't beat yourself down at all.
Yeah,
what's your comment?
You know, this temptation stuff, man, you know, it is serious, and a lot of times we don't realize that, you know, oftentimes, you know, we think of a person being addicted to something. When we hear the word addiction, we think of drugs, you know, alcohol, drugs, and even maybe food and all that stuff. But, you know, this is by way of nature, man, we are addicted to sin. You know, and it's just what it is. We are definitely addicted to sin. And in order for us to eradicate that addiction, we have to go to rehab. You know, and that rehab, man, is not just like the normal dude would go to rehab, and while he's in rehab, he's still getting his little drugs on the side and come out and then he have a relapse. You know, this rehab that we're talking about is dying of self, man. Is just laying at the feet and said, listen, you know, I can't do this. I do realize that this thing that I have is bigger than me. You know, and it I keep using it to feed myself, feed my ego, and it's destroying my life. So therefore, in order for me to beat this thing, I have to go to the source that can help me to beat this thing. And that's all it sounds very easy, but it's not as easy. But you know, we have to go to rehab, Chris, and subject ourselves to the things that is required of us so that we can beat this thing, man.
Nope, absolutely. And here's the first thing: as we're going to rehab, the first part we got to go into is in a place of humility and acknowledgement. Acknowledging,
yes, sir,
as we keep saying, is that we're there. And humility goes in along with it. And when we humble ourselves, God gives us grace. You know, that's a show. And I want to go back. I referenced the scripture. What I was referring to was Romans 12:1-2 in that particular one. You know, Romans 12:1 and 12:2. So just for the clarity on that. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, you know, basically keep your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. That's a work in progress, brother.
Uh-huh.
That's a work in progress. And but you know, I know that it can be done, brother Devin. You know, hey, he did it for 11 years or so that it was there. So, you know, at the end of the day, when we do that, God will honor the man who does that. Dr. Parker always says, Dr. Johnny Parker, referring to, he always says, when man promotes God, God promotes the man.
Come on, brother.
You know? And that's the key right there. You know, I said earlier in this thing, brothers, you know, we got that vertical alignment is so key. You know, the vertical, we watch right now, we got the basketball playoffs that are going on right now. And so, you know, one, you know, it's Golden State, Oklahoma going against each other. And then you got, you know, Toronto against Cleveland. They have, when they play above the rim, there's an elevation of it. You know, LeBron James right now, he's getting his man. He's doing what he does, the great LeBron James. He's elevated his game. He's playing on a vertical level that everybody's not playing on. So in order to play on that level, you got to be connected to something. And he can't just, you know, necessarily so when you're playing basketball, you don't necessarily believe in yourself. You believe in your team. So to the brothers that are out there that are listening, first of all, you got to be on the right team to believe in. And I know for the player I'm playing with is Team Jesus. You know what I mean? You may not see what he's doing, but you can experience what he's done. You know, and that's the great thing about it is that, you know, once you really do come to awareness of self through the Holy Spirit of God being your teacher, your instructor, he'll constantly love on you, even in the midst of your faults and your failures. And no one's here, you know, to beat you down. And he'll accept you just as you are. Even when all the church folks might talk about you and beat you down, you know, look, man, no condemnation. You know, at the end of the day, we just got to walk this thing and work this thing out. Because no one has the perfect answer. No one does. Uh-huh. You know, we're all here today, you know, really because we're just students trying to just get a message that we can share to impart some knowledge and wisdom. And, you know, really we preach it to ourselves. If that ain't the truth.
Yeah. You know, Chris, and this is Men Talk, so I think it's cool for me to ask a question, brother. You know, as a man, I think our biggest weakness is women, bottom line. And because if you really go all through history and see the fall of men, the core of it is, you know, has to do with some woman. And so, you know, why is it that we give someone of the opposite sex, or are we giving them that much power to have that, you know, for lack of a better word, dominion over us, that power over us, where we know for a fact, because, Chris, we know for a fact going in that it is wrong. We know for a fact, but we still go in, brother, and we still do what we do, and we keep doing it until one day busted, you know. And now we sorry. Are we sorry for the sin, or are we sorry for the consequences or the deed? You know. Why is it that we keep, you know, we keep feeding to that of the opposite sex, that power, man? Why do we do that? Is it that because we're so weak as men?
I mean, you know, at the end of the day, we like what we like, and because there's a free will. We have free will and a choice to do anything, and that sin nature that's been there ever since the beginning of time. That's like going back to ask Adam, why did he partake in a tree when, you know, the fruit of the tree when he was right there? It's the sin nature knowing that, well, maybe there won't be a consequence for this time. You know, maybe there is. So one of the things that we know is that, hey, we can choose the sin, but we can't choose the consequence of the sin. You know, we don't know what that looks like. You know, David chose the sin, but David didn't know after that all the drama that he would deal with. You know, I could only imagine, had he known, would he have done something different? You know, but for the moment of the pleasure that it was in, maybe it lasted a couple minutes, you know, but, you know, he liked it. He enjoyed it, you know, in that part. So, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, we truly enjoy sin, and some of us love it because we as men, we love a chase anyway. We love a good pursuit, you know, something that is, it makes us feel as though that we've got to, that we can't have it, but yet we know we can. And then once we get it, we conquered and devour it. You know, divided it and devoured it. Hey, we're good with it. We throw it back down. It's scraps. You know, it's scraps. So, yeah, that's what we do. Well, point number five, this is a good segue into that. We got this thing called removing hidden pleasures. You want to conquer, you know, the impure thoughts, you got to remove the provisions of hidden pleasures to defeat them. So, what that means is that, you know, we can't give room for it. You know, so you got a little stash over here or something that you got going on. Well, you made provisions for it. So if you made provisions for it, that's like, okay, for the women, okay. So I can speak to this. The guys may not necessarily have it, but, you know, just follow me, guys, for a second here. You know, maybe she's a single woman, so she's not dealing with men right now, but at the same time she got a little box, you know, and she got a little treat in that box. That's a hidden provision I'm referring to. So maybe if the guy, you know, maybe he's just trying to do the right thing, quote unquote, but yet on the side, hey, you know, ain't nothing wrong with a little movie here and there, you know, to stimulate my best interest. You know, it's a hidden provision. So in order for us to defeat the giant, we acknowledge it and we have to eliminate the hidden provisions that are distractions in our life that take us away from the will and the work of that doing the things that we're called to do in the kingdom. You know, and we continue to, you know, pray and seek and pursue God, he's going to reveal himself in us, and he will show you how to overcome the thing. But oftentimes he will put tools and resources in your place. And this is a resource tonight, the information that I'm sharing in this message. It's a great resource, but it's only as good, or it can only be great if you use it. That's the key. You know, they say knowledge is power, all of that. We know that to be true, but yet that can be so. If we don't apply it, the A in the application is the essential piece to getting the knowledge. That means, like, why are some people multi-millionaires? Why are some people billionaires? Sometimes it's luck, until they say it's, like, better to be, you know, lucky than good. And then other times, if they apply the principles. So that's the key here. We got to trust the process and apply the principles in order for that to work. So point number six is realize that winning a war means fighting many battles. So if we're going to overcome and conquer the enemy, we got to realize and acknowledge that there is a war. And that means we're going to have to fight many battles. Like I said in point number four, it was a spiritual warfare. Well, we got to come equipped and prepared that just because it happened, it ain't happened in a week, don't mean that day eight it ain't coming. Here comes the thought, what you going to do with it now? You know, how you going to overcome it and pursue it? You know, do you run, do you hide, or do you just stand up and say, you know what, no, it's all good, I can handle that. All right, play with yourself if you want. My buddy used to say, Ed, hey, if you give the enemy an inch, he wants a mile. If you give him a mile, you know what, he'll lick you right in the mouth. You know what I mean, Ed?
Yeah. That is so true, man. And you know, and again, it goes back to what I stated earlier on, Chris, is that you know we keep flirting with sin, thinking that we have the power to overcome it. You know, we can control it. We can walk away from it when we don't want it anymore, and we just can't. You know, and this is the reason why God tells us that we need to shun the very appearance. Because we just can't keep flirting with it, because we just don't have the power, we don't have the know-how, we don't have the ability, we have nothing to overcome it. You know, the only thing that we have is surrendering ourselves to God. You know, but instead of surrendering ourselves to God, we just keep saying, man, I can do this. I can do this. I know I can do it. You know, she likes me. You know, I'm married. No big deal. I'm not going to have sex with her. I'm not going to kiss her. I'm not going to whatever. But you know, like even with the situation with Satan and Eve, you know, or the serpent and Eve, whichever way we want to put it, he did not start out by just saying, you know, throwing some big thing at her, and you know, he started out with little subtle stuff. He grabbed her attention, and that's all he needed. He just needed to grab our attention, and once he has our attention, basically he has us. So you know, so as the Bible stated, boss, you know, we need to shun the very appearance, and we just need to do that. No questions asked.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Hey, point number seven, great segue into this. Learn to live in the fear of God. Mm. And that's powerful. I'll let you take that one, man.
Learn to live in the fear of God, which means that, you know, again, it's all about denying self, brother. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to live in his presence. You have to, and the only way you can do that is to learn to have a relationship with him. You know, let us think about it. You know, those of us who are married now, and you know, when we used to date and all that stuff, our girlfriend at the time was our best friend, and we just could not wait to be in the presence of her, you know, and we would eat, sleep and do everything for this young lady. And you know, and now we're married. And, you know, for some of us, you know, that even maximizes self. Some of us, you know, it is at a plateau, unfortunately. But, you know, and so it's the same, it's kind of the same thing with us and God. You know, every day we get up, we should have that yearning desire to be in the presence of God, because it's only by being in the presence of him we can learn more about him, and so that our covenant with him can become stronger.
That's right. Absolutely. Number eight is learn God's limitation to curiosity. So this is what this one says, Brother Ed. It says, undisciplined curiosity is one of Satan's most powerful means of defeating us in our thought lives. God has given us a marvelous intellect, but with it, he gave us one limitation. We are not to learn the details of evil. God would have us to be wise unto which is good and simple concerning evil. That's Romans 6:19. It is significant that the next verse in Romans 16:20 refers back to Satan's victory in the Garden of Eden when he defeated Adam. That's on there. And so God never intended that we learn evil with our mind or through experience, but with the discernment of our spirit. So learn God's limitations to curiosity. They also say curiosity killed the cat. You know, curiosity killed the cat. And that's one of the pieces that we really have to do is say, look, okay, yeah, it may be round and brown, but, you know, it's cool. That's great for the brother who she may be with or whatever, or whatever your cup of tea is that you like. You know what I mean? You like chai? It's chai. They got something for everything now. And truth be told, brother, we don't really know what we're really getting. Because at the end of the day, you know, there's so much surgery going on right now. It looks great outside and inside the clothes. But, man, so I used to have this thing, man. I used to think that every woman back in the day, now this was back in the day, every woman that could dance, and she could dance to reggae seductively and all that, oh, she might be able to put it down. Bruh, that was a fallacy. Straight fallacy. You know what I'm saying? So, but it took my experience to help me to realize that wasn't a truth any longer. So what am I saying, Ed? I'm kind of going at this one at the back door, is that some brothers ain't going to listen to what we're saying anyway. You know? So it's going to take him learning his truth or his experience to learn his new truth that it wasn't worth it anyway. Just because you see it don't necessarily mean you got to have it. You know? And you got to have a little bit of discipline about it. You know? Because if you're not... Everything that looks good, we always know this saying, ain't what? Ain't good for you. Ain't
good.
Meant for you.
That's
it. And our final point, Brother Ed, is use temptations as springboards to spiritual insights. Now, that's pretty deep. I got to read a little bit more into this one. So use temptations as springboards to spiritual insights. So if you want to overcome and conquer this thing, temptations are often based on legitimate human needs. And we know that the enemy wants to, he prompts us to fulfill our needs in his way. But God calls us to give him our needs and to trust him to fulfill them in his time and in his way. Therefore, we should turn each temptation into a signal to ask the Lord for the scripture or the insight that he, God, would have us quote in response. And so the result of this will be a transforming of the sinful desires into spiritual power, and we will discover that some of our greatest life will grow out of these struggles. So, brother, the struggle is real, man. You know, at the end of the day, the struggle is real. And God can help us to win in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of the stress, in the midst of the all the things that are going on when work ain't going right and or when your lady has got all your nerves, whatever that it may be, brothers, we still can win. We win when we put on the full armor and we get equipped to say, you know what, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm more than a conqueror. I've been called out of darkness into this marvelous light. We win when we can use the word to work on our behalf, but we lose when we don't know the word. When we don't know the word.
We lose when we depend on self. You know, we lose when we feel as though we have all the power to walk away when we so desire and to stay in it when we so desire. Because when you think about it, bro, you know, it's all about feeding the self, and I'm going to feed self until, you know, I desire it no more. Then I move on to something new and start feeding self again. But that's not what God has called us to do. You know, he created us. He has a purpose for us. And when we start feeding self, you know, we start to introduce toxic issues or situation to our body, so that we won't be able to be equipped to do that of which God designed us to do, because, you know, we are so toxic, man, that in order for God to use us, you know, we're going to have to go through again, you know, like I spoke about before, this rehab treatment. And so now God is still willing to work with us, you know, for the purpose that he designed us to be, but because of our behavior, because of that of which we chose to do in life, now it slows up the process, because now God is saying to me that, okay, Ed, you know, I see that you're willing to make yourself available now, but you know, there are some things that I need to do with you first before I can allow you to do that of which I desire for you to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, this has been a good discussion for tonight. I'm thankful that many have tuned in to hear. We wanted to share some, you know, basically 9 points that would help us all. I'm no different, included in this, because I put on my pants the same way you put on yours. And so, you know, I have challenges just like the next person. However, my challenges don't have me. Thank God. To God be the glory on that. Now, we got some great information that we released earlier today, guys. And I'm going to let Brother Edward tell you a little bit more about this. This is something that's coming up. So right now, if you are out there, this is certainly where you want to go find more information. And Edward's going to give you the website. He's going to give you the information of how you can register for this conference and this event coming up, because you don't want to waste any more time tonight. Take advantage of this, because the time is ticking and the clock is about to run out. And go ahead and tell them more about the event that just released today.
Yeah, listen, brother, brothers and sisters out there, if you're listening, you know, and so we're coming up with a relationship boot camp called This Means War 3.0 Relationship Boot Camp, and it's going to take on the form of a cruise. That is 2017 cruise. It's going to be, October 29th, 2017. However, we're trying to make it very easy for you, so we have set up what we call payment plan. You have until July 1st to make your first deposit of $50. Then the second deposit is going to be of, I think, $200-something on December 1st, and then the balance is due on June of 2017. The total cost for everyone right now, base and double occupancy is it's starting at $499, and in order for you to get that price, you have to make a commitment by July 1st of this year with just a mere $50. You can go to the travel agency. It is called MikeOneTravel.com, MikeOneTravel.com, and he will take care of you. You can go on my Facebook page and get all the information. The flyer is there. You can even go on Chris's Facebook page, and all the information is there. You know, Chris is going to be one of the speakers. I can't wait to hang out with my brother and do man talk, do ask a man, you know, we're just talking about relationship. It is going to be epic. It's a 7-day cruise going to Jamaica, Cozumel, Mexico, and the Grand Cayman. You know, you can't afford to miss it. $499 starting, you can't afford to miss that. That is going to be phenomenal, and we look forward in meeting you. So come aboard. You will enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's well said. And, folks, that brings us to an end of another great show of Man Talk. For this week's show, I'm Chris Richardson, your host, and my brother Edward Smith from Meet the Smiths. We'll see you next week. You can tune in as well as we get ready for another exciting topic. If you've got a comment or a topic that you would like for us to discuss, first of all, I would say go to the website, realtalkwithchrisrichardson.com, and see if we've already posted there. So, you know, we've talked about a litany of different things, and hopefully we're bringing some different direction and insight to your life that's adding value. I certainly would hope so, that something that might have been said today or a word or an act that would resonate within your spirit and challenge you in terms of your, you know, being real and true to yourself, and more importantly, being real and true to with your relationship with Christ. So we want to thank you guys again for tuning in to another show. We will see you next week. Good night. God bless. And we'll see you at the top. Ed, brother, thank you, sir.
You're welcome, man. Good night, brother. Bye-bye.